It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Vigneri fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Eilert. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there, as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercats' very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
Yes, it's time to talk to Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider, fresh off a trip to Frisco, Texas. How you doing, Riley?
I am great, and I had Whataburger twice, In-N-Out Burger once, Taco Cabana twice. It was a great weekend of football, but holy cow, what a weekend of food for me. I just had a great weekend.
Not good on your waistline. You need to go hit that treadmill a little bit more since I last saw you, right?
Well, I did. In fact, I've gotten really good about going to the fitness center in the hotels that we stay at. So uh-huh. I hit it every day so that way I could eat that way. You know, it's all about balance in life, and I found my balance this weekend.
Are you like me? Like, I'll go work out, but then I'll go get, like, a 32-ounce milkshake. It's like that kind of is counterproductive, isn't it?
I mean, maybe not every day, but also, you know, I believe that you work out to be able to enjoy yourself from time to time and not to necessarily just eat lettuce all the time.
I like that theory. I like that. I really do. In fact, I don't only hear about it. I actually practice what you're preaching, so I get you. Okay, so your trip to Frisco. Tell us about that, and you had a chance to talk to some of the future or now employed K-State coaches.
Yeah, you know, it's we had the kind of decision, I guess. You know, do you want to go to Lubbock and go cover K-State basketball, or do you want to go cover these new coaches? And, you know, it's not to say that basketball was a negative thing to go watch. We would have done it if it hadn't been this type of situation, but this seemed like too good of an opportunity to miss out on, to, you know, be able to talk to Courtney Messingham, the new offensive coordinator, we didn't get to talk to Connor Riley, excuse me. Jason Ray, the new wide receivers coach, and then Joe Klanderman, the new safeties coach at North Dakota State, and then obviously Chris Kleiman. You know, it was just a really cool experience, first and foremost, because of the setting, you know, the national championship, and then also because we don't get to talk to coordinators ever. You know, that was Bill Snyder's thing. He took assistant coaches off the market to the media, and we have never been able to talk to assistant coaches. Well, we got to today, or this past weekend. And I tell you what, I learned more about what Kansas State football might look like from an offensive scheme, from a defensive scheme, more in 3 to 4 days than I did probably in 2 to 3 years covering the program. You know, it's amazing what you can get when you get, you know, access to a coordinator. You get full, legitimate thoughts from these guys, what they actually feel, what they actually think about the type of program they're going to run, what type of different attacks they're going to do. And I got to tell you, these seem like some really good coaches that K-State has coming in. I think that they've got some really good ideas for K-State football and how it can succeed moving forward. And then overall, just, you know, as individuals, as people, K-State fans are getting some great coaches coming in. It was a great weekend in Frisco, and it was great to get to know them just a little bit as we kind of begin this relationship with them.
Sounds to me that Kansas State isn't going to be, all right, we got to go to the spread offensive attack. Give us an idea of what we can expect to see from the K-State offense next year.
Well, I think if you watch that national championship game between North Dakota State and Eastern Washington, and I'm sure there's a replay somewhere out there, YouTube or something like that, it's a perfect example of what you're going to see. You know, they're going to build an offensive line that can dominate, and we've gotten used to seeing that with Charlie Dickey over the years. But Connor Riley's going to come in here, and he's going to get some dudes on the offensive line, and they're going to try to pave the way, and they're going to try to run the ball, which is exactly what K-State football has been doing for 30 years under Bill Snyder. You know, and I know it doesn't excite some people. You know, younger people like myself might like to see that air raid attack that seems to work for some schools, but I think that this is going to be a different twist on the run first, pass second type of offense. Yeah, they're gonna run the ball a lot, and that's not to say they're not gonna pass it, but they're not gonna rely on the pass, you know. And I think that that's really good for a guy like Skylar Thompson. You know, if they can get a running back established, and that's the biggest thing they have to do is find someone to come in, or maybe two someones to come in, and take over this run game and to make it a potent attack that teams have to fear. That's gonna make it a lot easier on Skylar Thompson, because I think he's better out of the play action, you know, being able to make teams trust that they're going to run the ball and then, you know, not sit back and drop, you know, six, seven guys into coverage, something like that. And so they're going to run the ball first. They're going to be a run-first team, and I think that Cordy Messingham, that was his approach. That's what he wants to do. He told me, you know, I want to be different. In a world of air raid, I want to run the ball. We got to pass it, obviously, but we got to run it. So it's actually not going to be a whole lot different, and that's what I kind of think played into this decision to hire these guys. Was it's not a huge culture shock for K-State football. It's a little bit of the same stuff.
What about on the defensive side? What do you expect them, what they like to do after you watch them in the national championship game and talking to some of the coaches?
Yeah, man, that one's a really tough one. And, you know, we actually have a guy that works for covers North Dakota State, who is now a part-time writer for us. His name is Ross Uglum, and he's been following North Dakota State football forever. And obviously, they're bringing in Joe Klanderman at the safety position, but we don't. It's just really tough to know what they're going to do right now, because we haven't gotten the chance to talk to Ted Modicino and figure out, like, hey, what is your defensive philosophy going to be? How are you going to run it? You're going to run a 4-3. You're going to run a 3-4. There's some talk out there that maybe this 10th assistant coach is going to be a linebackers coach, and maybe they go with a 3-3-5, kind of like West Virginia has run over the past few years, which would be really wild to see. So, you know, I can't honestly answer that too much. In terms of secondary play, I know that Joe Klanderman is a type of coach that he doesn't want you – he's not going to necessarily have you playing up in their grill the whole time, but he's not going to have you playing 10 to 15 yards off the ball like K-State has been doing a lot in years past. You know, he's going to allow his defensive backs to go up and make a play if they think it's the right time to go make it. But he's also a guy that's going to coach him the smart way, so to say, you know, and don't make that jump if you don't think you can do it. And so it'll get a lot clearer when we get to talk to the whole defensive staff. I think we're going to get to do that at some point before spring football, once they get this 10th assistant coach hired. So I don't really have a full clear picture of this defense, but it seems to me like the guys they have right now certainly have the approach, the background that, you know, it should be a pretty solid defense.
Riley Gates, Go Power Cat, is our guest every single Tuesday. Our Wildcat Insider brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. So now that they have officially wrapped up things, winning a national championship, North Dakota State beating Eastern Washington over the past weekend in Frisco, what's the first, I don't know if anybody asked him this specifically, but and of course we know these coaches have been kind of working both jobs, to be quite honest with you, since they knew they're going to be part of the K-State staff while still not trying to take away from their focus on the national championship game that they just won. But what's kind of the top priorities, the top things on the agenda for these coaches now that North Dakota State's football season is in the books and they can move on to the next chapter in their lives?
It's recruiting. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost.
I was hoping you'd say that. Because if you didn't, I was like, there's only one answer. It's got to be recruiting. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a recruiting period coming up here, and I don't have the exact date in front of me, but I believe that it's coming up pretty soon. And from what I've been told, they're going to be out on the road almost 7 days a week recruiting. And that is a total 110% culture change. Something that K-State fans are not used to seeing, hearing about. You know, they might be in the office 1 to 2 days a week, but I think that if you're the family of any of these assistant coaches, you better get used to them not being around for a few weeks, because they're going to be out on the trail and they're going to be hitting it hard, which is only going to benefit K-State football. Now, you're not going to see the work pay off this year, probably. I mean, the class is almost fielded. I mean, they're still recruiting a little bit for 19. For that second signing period. But this is all about inroads in that 2020 class and really building a foundation there. And I'm excited to see what they get to do, because I think these are some guys that have some energy out there. You know, they can go out and flash the fact that they just won another national championship under Chris Klieman, and that's going to carry weight. You know, I don't care if it's an FCS title. It's going to carry some weight. So they're going to, I don't mean to make it sound like they're not going to focus on this 2019 football team. I mean, they're going to be around as much as they can. They're going to be getting their guys ready as much as they legally can, you know, with all the NCAA rules. But I think for the next few months, we're just going to hear about K-State constantly being out on the road, constantly offering kids, constantly recruiting them, which is exactly what you want if you're a fan. You know, you want to see this type of energy out there. And even if they swing and miss on a lot of these guys, I think it's going to be pretty fun for K-State fans to follow. You know, they haven't gotten to see their coaches really try to work this angle a whole lot, and that's part of what Chris Klieman's doing with his, with this new role that he's taking on. He's changing the culture here at K-State, and I think it's only for the best.
All right, so let's shift now to the K-State men's basketball team. They fall to Texas Tech down 14-0. The offensive woes continue. Their defense, though, keeps them in games. It kept them in the game against Texas Tech. I believe they came all the way back, cut it to 1 or 2, but couldn't get over the hump. Now, I know you were busy in Frisco, but maybe you saw some of the highlights or watched some of the film. But Kansas State's got West Virginia coming to town tomorrow night. We could talk about this, I guess, week in and week out, but it kind of comes back to the same thing, and that is offensively, they got to get better. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I sat and I've thought about it. I've worked through every player on the roster. I've thought about all their offensive plays, everything like that, and I've just tried to figure out what is the reason for this. What is the issue? And I seriously cannot come up with an answer. And Bruce Weber tells people that they're not taking good shots, and I guess I get that to an extent, but it's not simply that. And I wish I had some sort of an answer for why this offense is so bad. You know, I was listening to the audio stream during that North Dakota State football game, and they got down, they missed their first 13 shots or whatever, and I immediately clicked it off, you know. They end up losing by 6, and I heard that the final 59 seconds or whatever, they scored 8 points, and so it looks a lot better on paper than it actually was. This is not only the worst offense in the Big 12, this is not only the worst offense in the Power 5 rankings, this is one of the worst offenses in all of college basketball. I believe they are among the bottom 20 now, because they were 325th going into that game.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you're – I don't know what the issue is, honestly. It's not as simple as just putting Dean Wade back in. Yeah, the numbers would go up, but it's not as if he's going to come in and take them from scoring 40 to 50 points and suddenly scoring 75, 80 points a game. That's just not going to happen. And I don't know where the fix is, and frankly, I don't think they're going to get it fixed. I think this is going to be an issue all year. Do I think it'll get a little bit better? Yeah. I think they'll end up scoring some points. They'll get some shots to fall, and obviously playing at home can help that. The Texas game doesn't speak to that whatsoever.
No.
But I think they might not go up, but it's going to be – that'll be the reason this team loses 9 or 10 games in the Big 12 this year and is once again a bubble team if they're a bubble team. I think there's a real realistic possibility that we could be looking at a program that's going to start 0-5. You know, this is an 0-2 team facing an 0-2 West Virginia team tomorrow. But we know what West Virginia does. They muddy up that game. They get you to turn it over, et cetera, et cetera. And when you don't have a healthy point guard in Kamau Stokes, I'm a little bit nervous about you trying to break that West Virginia press.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go to Iowa State on Saturday and play a team that just kicked KU's doors off. Holy
yes.
Cow, that was a ridiculous game. So you can't feel confident about that. And then you're going to play Oklahoma. And I don't see any game in there where I feel really confident about K-State winning. And if you start 0-5, that's pretty much it.
I agree.
I don't think you can go to the tournament if you start 0-5. I don't think there's enough ground left to make up with playing Tech one more time, KU two more times. You got to play at Texas. I know it's early. I'm trying not to overreact, but this is an absolute disaster that Bruce Weber has on his hands right now. And frankly, going into the season, this is the worst-case scenario of what could have happened to him.
It is, and, you know, I've heard some people go, well, the reason they're struggling offensively is Kamau's hurt and Dean Wade's out. And I quickly say, you do know how many points they scored at Tulsa, right, with everybody on all hands on deck? They scored 46. When these guys all been healthy, they've struggled to score during their career. I mean, as a team, they struggled to score many times last year. That's a big reason why they're on the bubble heading into the Big 12 tournament a year ago. Then they got hot for a week and a half. I agree with you. I don't see – the silver lining right now, but I will say we have 18 games of play in conference season, and they play just two. And they, but they have, gosh, they have to get this game tomorrow night. I'm with you. If they don't get this game tomorrow night, I don't see how they can pull themselves out of this. Plus, at the end of the year, I know their non-con's a little bit better than last year, but yet I sit here, what big marquee win do they have in the non-con? And the Tulsa loss, I still think, is going to end up being a bad loss. They're going to have to pull off a couple of big wins in the Big 12 season to probably even maybe put themselves on the bubble, let alone get in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they had the 66th best strength of schedule coming into the Big 12 play now. And I think that's the right number. And heck, that's way better than what it was a year ago. They were 300 and something, the worst Power 5 out there. But it's still not good. Like you said, they still don't have that marquee win. Thinking off the top of my head, the best win is probably Missouri, I would guess. Honestly, I don't know if that's it either. This is a not good situation right now. They're going to have to get some of those wins, and they will. You know, they'll do something where they beat a KU at home, or maybe they go into Austin and beat Texas. I don't know. They'll do something like that. But I got to be honest with you. I know that K-State plays terrific defense, and they're one of the country's best defensive units, and it works really well for them. But I think Bruce Weber's putting too much emphasis on that. I think you can continue to stress it and continue to make it your bread and butter. But I think he relies too much on, we're going to play good defense and get a team to miss a shot, and then we're going to score in transition. Because when they get the ball in transition like that, they will put the ball in the hoop. I mean, it's going to happen. Unless that defense gets back real quick and sets up, they usually have a pretty easy layup or a wide-open jumper somewhere. But when you get a team like Texas Tech that's making so many shots out of the gate, you're not getting that ability to. And so you can't just sit here and emphasize that your offense is going to be a good defense, because it's not always going to work that way. And it's not going to work against a lot of these teams. You know, I think Kansas, even without Udoka Azubuike, is going to be a really tough matchup. I think that you're lucky that Barry Brown played terrific defense on Jarrett Culver, but who's to say he doesn't go off in Manhattan when they come here? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not a good setup right now. And honestly, I got to say, I'm really disappointed in this senior class right now. And now, in fairness, Dean Wade is hurt, and Kamau Stokes recently suffered an injury. But I have not seen these seniors, and that goes for the whole team, really, but specifically these seniors, I have not seen them step up and say, we're going to fix the issues, you know. Clearly something's wrong. We got to get it figured out. The closest that I've come to any senior taking responsibility for anything that's gone wrong is when Kamau Stokes, you know, kind of owned up to that George Mason game. And we asked him, you know, is it good to just get the win? And he said, well, obviously it's good to win, but, you know, it's pretty unacceptable to blow a lead like that. That's the most responsibility I've seen the senior class take. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, I think it kind of goes back to the culture that's here right now is, well, as long as we don't lose, it's fine. Or if we have a bad loss, well, we'll get the problems figured out. And that's a great mindset to have, but you got to go out and do it. You can't just say you're going to do it. And that's where I think a lot of the trouble lies is I don't think there's a whole lot of leadership in this program right now. I think there's a lot of big heads. I think Barry Brown probably got a big head when he went to the Lakers, just like Marcus Foster did when he went to LeBron James' skill camp after his first year. Mm-hmm. I think Kamau Stokes is getting there, and maybe even Dean Wade to a certain extent has a bit of a head on him. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that, but there's something up here. This is not the same team that was in the Elite Eight. And if they're not careful, they're not even going to get into the tournament this year.
They're off to a bad start, and it's going to be tough. As you said early on, they very well could start 0-5, and that's a gigantic hole to dig out of. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Riley. On a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the best and 1 being the lowest, how much did you enjoy Clemson pasting Alabama last night?
Man, I got to say it was like I'm going to say an 88.
Okay.
Because I really enjoyed it. I wanted Clemson to win. But I really like Tua. I really like Tua. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he's a great kid. And I wanted to see him have a good game to go out. Well, not go out, but, you know, end the season on a high note. It was a little disappointing for me that he played such a poor game, because I think Clemson is a better team, but I don't think Clemson is, you know, however many points better than Alabama. And I think that – kind of played into to Tua making some pretty poor mistakes. But it was fun to watch Alabama lose. Brent Venables coached a heck of a defensive game. And I think he's probably, he's making 2.2 this year. Yep. I think he's set to make 2.4 next year, and I think he might get a little bit of a raise.
That's what we were talking about before we had you on. Like, why is he gonna take a job somewhere else as a head coach when he's on top of the mountain now? He's going to get a raise. I believe his son's going to be part of the team next year from what I heard, and his family's happy. He's got the second-best job in America behind Vanna White. And, I mean, it's just a great gig. You get paid a lot. You're going to make more. You're probably going to get a raise. You're on top of the mountain, and many people say it's harder to stay on top of the mountain than to get to the top of the mountain. And I've said it for a while. Dabo Swinney, maybe, a very religious person, maybe he'll step aside in the next few years or maybe 5 years from now, and the guy that's going to take over, I would imagine, the first guy they'd ask, I would think, would be Brent Venables. So I still think he's going to be a head coach, but I don't really see him being a head coach anywhere but Clemson.
There is no reason for him to uproot anything and go anywhere. Especially now that Kansas State has a head coach that I think is going to be around for a while,
Yeah. And
I don't see him fitting anywhere else. I think Brent Venables is in Clemson to stay for quite some time.
I agree with you on that. All right, what are you working on, Go Powercat?
We pumped out 17 or 18 items from Frisco, and that's all up there, and some of it's free, some of it's VIP, so I would encourage people to go read that, and then obviously we're going to kick in some basketball here and really kind of ramp that up. Obviously, with the coaching change, we have not been as heavily invested into basketball as maybe we usually are at this time, but it's about to get going. And then, like I said earlier, I think we're going to have some access to football a little bit earlier than, you know, the first week of spring football this year. So perhaps we'll have some early football stuff along with the basketball stuff, and assuming they can get the basketball situation turned around, maybe we'll have some fun stories to write.
that sounds good, man. Well, great job and all the hard work, and I'm glad you had safe travels to Frisco and back. We'll talk to you next week, Riley.
All right, sounds good, Wade.
Take care. That's Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you each and every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.